Okay, starting in Revelation chapter 6, we're going to pick up from yesterday. Remember yesterday we were talking about the last 7-year period, the final seven that leads up to Jesus' return, our resurrection, and then the beginning of the day of the Lord, the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Now, we established certain things yesterday from the Scriptures. That first of all, the day with God is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are as a day. That there have been 6,000 years of creation, and we're on the verge of the seventh day. That each of those 1,000 years represent a day, as represented in Genesis 1, 6 days God created, and the seventh He rested. The last thing that was created physically on the sixth day was mankind. The last thing that will be created at the end of this sixth day is mankind through the resurrection of the dead into the image of Jesus Christ, not Adam. And then the seventh day is the day of rest. It's also called the day of the Lord, as the Sabbath has always been called the Lord's day, the day of the Lord. And on the day of the Lord, it starts with Jesus' coming to rule and reign in our resurrection, and that day ends with the great white throne judgment. So for those of us of Christ, it is a day of rest, but for those of the nations and of the world, it is a day of judgment. And Jesus will rule over them, and we will rule and reign with Him with a rod of iron over the nations. And if you have any questions, please hold them until the end, until we get to the end of this. So we were discussing the things that immediately lead up, once we've established that the last days were each 1,000 years apiece. They started with Jesus, and the last days run from the time of Jesus, as we defined it from Joel's prophecy. The last day started with Jesus, and we see the proof of it and poured out of the Holy Spirit, that these were the last days, as Joel prophesied. And they go all the way up into, we see the signs of the day of the Lord, the Lord's day. And those signs that immediately precede, where the sun is darkened and the moon doesn't give its light, the moon turns to blood, and the stars fall from the sky. These are what happened at the end of this 7-year period that expressed the soon coming of Jesus Christ, and that He's on His way. All right, these are all the things we talked about yesterday. Today we're going to talk about that final seven and compare it with the seven seals. So starting in Revelation 6, where the seals are opened, we need to understand some things. All right, I watched, verse 1, Revelation 6, I watched as the land opened the first of the seven seals. And I heard one of the four living creatures say in a voice like thunder, "Come." And I looked, there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. Now, a lot of people have confused this with Jesus, and it's easy to do, being the Antichrist is meant to confuse people with Jesus. But that's who this is. This is the beast, the Antichrist. That final seven, you'll notice in Daniel 9:27, the final seven of Daniel's 77s, that's meant to happen in our time, starts with this Antichrist making a covenant with many. That's what starts the final seven. And this covenant that he makes with many directly concerns the building of the temple. In the midst of that covenant, he moves himself into the temple and proclaims himself to be God. And we can verify this through Daniel 8, Daniel 11 and 12, Revelations 13, and 2 Thessalonians 2. Come very, very clearly. And so this, starting these seven seals, is the revealing of the Antichrist. Now notice that he's a man bent on conquest, going forth to conquer. He's not carrying the two-edged sword like Jesus. He's carrying a bow. Remember, when we wear the armor of faith, remember the shield of faith, you know, the armor of God, the shield of faith is to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. Fiery darts are arrows. And we see that this man is giving a bow, bent on conquest, and goes forth to conquer. Now, when the Lamb opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come." And another horse came out, a fiery red one. Its rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make men slay each other. To him was given a large sword. Now, I want you to notice a connection here. A man bent on conquest comes first. Right? A conqueror. And he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. What do conquerors bent on conquest do? They start wars. The very next thing, this fiery red horse, is the wars he starts. The war he starts. This man bent on conquest, going forth to conquer, starts a war. Now you're going to see all the way through these fourth seal, commonly known as the four horsemen of the apocalypse, that these first four seals are all about the Antichrist, the war he starts, and the repercussions of that war he starts. Alright, so the red horse is the war he starts. And notice it's worldwide, to take peace from the earth and to make men slay each other. To him was given a large sword. When the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the living creatures say, "Come." The third living creature say, "Come." And I looked, there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a day's wages, and three quarts of barley for a day's wages, and do not damage the oil and the wine." Alright, what do wars cause? Now this man bent on conquest, and see this the way this plays out. This man bent on conquest goes forth and starts a war as part of his conquest, and this war brings famine, as wars always do. Wars always bring famine. In the process of war, many things are destroyed, and many people are destroyed. Farmers can't get out and reap and plant and so forth, and the land is tore up. Food becomes scarce, having to get through supply lines and enemy lines and so forth. There's always famine with war. That's the nature of it. If you'd have looked at that war they had in Liberia, this is exactly the way it played out. One group, bent on conquest, goes and invades the other group. They bring a war that comes to the whole nation, and after that comes famine and plague from the destruction of the land and the food sources. And then they're in Liberia and Africa. Even the wild animals, it says, started to eat people because there was no food. The animals that wouldn't normally eat you all of a sudden viewed humans as a food source. Well, look at this. When the land opened the third seal, came this black horse, which was famine. And the Lord opened the fourth seal, and I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come." And I looked, there before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and hell was following close behind him. They were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine, and plague, and by the wild beasts of the earth. Now, famine always brings plague. That's part of the nature of war, famine and plague. People getting sick, sickness going berserk. In World War I, because of that great war, we had an influenza outbreak, because this is exactly what happens. A man bent on conquest starts war. War brings famine and plague. And war, famine, and plague, and then the wild beasts of the earth, because they're hungry, begin to eat people. And so we see a fourth of the earth, through what the Antichrist does here, is affected. They were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, war, famine, and plague, and by the wild beasts of the earth. Now, how many of you can see that? It's a natural progression. From a man bent on conquest all the way to the end. Pretty clear, isn't it? He opened the fifth seal, and I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony that they had maintained. They called out in a loud voice, "How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood?" Then each of them were given a white robe, and they were told to wait a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and brothers were to be killed, as they had been, was completed. Now, I want you to understand something here. These first six seals, the first five seals, it's not really trying to put things in an order for you, other than the first four have an order. You know, a man bent on conquest brings war, war brings famine and plague, famine and plague and war and wild animals bring death. Right? That's a natural beginning and ending there, isn't it? But it's not trying to fit the fifth seal in a context of this happens after that. And it's trying to put it in the context of this happens also during these seals. See, now, things don't happen in the order of the seals, Revelation per se. They happen in the order of the events described in the seals. Remember, the seals are a vision, and the vision is expressed in a certain order. But that order that the vision expressed is not trying to give you an exact order of how things happen. It's trying to let you know an order of how it reveals it to you. So the order in which things occur in the vision is not necessarily the order that it occurs that when the vision is fulfilled. In other words, if I was to read you a story and I tell you certain things in a certain order, you know, people telling stories, you've seen it in books and movies, they may start out at the end and work way back to the beginning, huh? They may start in the middle and work back toward the end and the beginning. How I tell you the story is how I tell you the story. That's not necessarily the order in which the story happens. And that's the way it is with visions. The things that occur here in these visions are not necessarily the order in which they occur unless it demonstrates it does. The first four seals are demonstrated as an order, but that's an order to itself, the four horsemen of the apocalypse. The next seal happens within this time period of the first four seals. But it's revealed in an order, but what happens next, the Great Tribulation, happens during this time period of the four horsemen. Now the final seal, and that's what we're talking about, is the Great Tribulation, where they're told to wait a little longer until the rest of their brothers and sisters are killed, those who had a testimony for Jesus and those who had suffered because of the Word. This is about the Great Tribulation in that final seven. All right, and I watched as he opened the sixth seal. Now here's where it gets good. There was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair. The whole moon turned blood red, and the stars in the sky fell to the earth, as late figs drop from a fig tree when shaken by a strong wind. The sky receded like a scroll rolling up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Then the kings of the earth, the princes and the generals, the rich, the mighty, and every slave and every free man hid in caves among the rocks of the mountains. And they called to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand?" Now this is where everything ends. I want you to notice something about the first six seals of these seven seals. The first seal starts with the revealing of Antichrist, and the last seal ends with Jesus' coming, the sixth seal. The seventh seal, which begins in chapter 8, all it does is give us a revelation of the specifics of what's contained in the first six seals. The events of the seventh seal do not happen at the end of when the six seals are revealed. The seventh seal is what contains the seven trumpets and the seven bowl judgments. That's what's in the seventh seal. And it gives us the specifics of things that happened during the Great Tribulation. It gives us specifics of things that happened all the way through this seven-year period. But the first six seals describe the entire period of itself in a synopsis form. And it does it through Antichrist ruling and reigning, starting from Antichrist coming to Jesus coming and destroying him. That's what the first six seals are about. They're a synopsis. Now, I want you to notice something that's real important. We're not going to talk about, so we can prove the point, We're not going to talk about all of the things right now. We will get to it. But we're not going to talk about all the things that happened in the sixth seal and the seven bowls and the seven trumpets. We're only going to deal with the last one of each. We're going to deal with the sixth seal, and then we're going to go to the seventh bowl and the seventh trumpet. And I want you to see something. I want you to see that they all end in the exact same place with the same events. A great earthquake, Jesus is returning, our resurrection, the end has come. Jesus beginning to rule and reign. The seventh seal, the seventh bowl, and the seventh trumpet, the sixth seal, the seventh bowl, the seventh trumpet, they all end in the exact same place with the exact same events. If you can establish this, then you will understand a basic way to divide the book of Revelation to understand it. So let's do that real quick. I want to start with, I watched as he opened the sixth seal. Now this is what happens during the sixth seal. There was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair. Remember the events that immediately in Matthew 24, starting in verse 29, immediately after the great tribulation, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun won't be darkened, the moon won't give us light, the stars will fall from the sky. This is that event. It precedes Jesus' coming almost immediate. I watched as he opened the sixth seal. There was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair. The whole moon turned blood red. And the stars in the sky fell to the earth. See, it's the same event from Matthew 24. And that happens at the end of the tribulation. And then the kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, and all these guys, they call out to the mountains and rocks to fall on them, to hide them from the face of him who sits on the throne. This is where the sign in verse 30 of the Son of, in Matthew 24, the sign of the Son of Man appears in the sky, and all the world mourns. And they're crying, hide us, let the rocks fall on us, hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand? That's why all the world is mourning. All right. Then we see the 144,000 sealed just scant moments before Jesus returns. And then we see all of those, both the 144,000 and that great multitude, no one can number, come out of the great tribulation. And it tells us that's where they came out of. Verse 13 of chapter 7 says, then one of the elders asked me, these in white robes, who are they and where did they come from? I said, sir, you know. And he said, these are those who have come out of the great tribulation. And they washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they're before the throne of God night and day and so forth. So we see that they did. Now, chapter 8 is the revealing of the seventh seal. And within the seventh seal, I want you to notice that from chapter 8 all the way to chapter 22, the events of the seventh seal are portrayed to the rest of the book. The rest of the book is nothing about the events that are shown in the seventh seal of the seventh seal, that part of the vision. And it deals with the specifics of everything that happened during the first six seals. Because the first six seals happened at the beginning of that 7-year, last final seven, with Antichrist coming on the scene, and it ends with Jesus' return. Now, I want you to see those as bookends. Antichrist coming on the scene, all the way until the true Christ comes on the scene. That's what marks that 7 years period. First, the man of sin, and then the man of righteousness. They're bookends to that 7-year period. And it's meant to be so. Because creation started off with the man of sin, Adam, and it will end with the man of righteousness, Christ. And this is why that 7-year period is a picture or a microcosm of all of creation. The 7 physical days of creation, 7,000 years. They start with Adam and end with Christ, right? Well, here this final 7 starts with the Antichrist, the man of sin, Adam, so to speak, and it ends with the true Christ coming. How many of you can see that? And that's what we've got to understand here. So, chapters 8 all the way through 22 all deal with the events of the seventh seal, and the events of the seventh seal are the specifics of what happened during the first six seals. So we're stepping back in time. But I want you to know that the seventh bowl and the seventh trumpet are all the same thing as the sixth seal. Let's go look at the seventh trumpet first. All right? The seventh trumpet we can read about in chapter 11. Now, it says, talking about these two great witnesses, in verse 11 of chapter 11 in Revelations, after 3.5 days, the breath of life came from God, entered into them after they'd been killed, and they stood up on their feet, and terror struck those who saw them. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, "Come up here." And they went up to heaven in a cloud while their enemies looked on. At that very hour, there was a severe earthquake, and a tenth of the city collapsed. I want you to remember this earthquake, because it's the exact same earthquake we're talking about where every island and mountain was moved from its place in the sixth seal. And it goes on, 7,000 people were killed in the earthquake, and that's, you know, focusing on Jerusalem, that city. And the survivors were terrified and gave glory to the God of heaven. And it says the seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven. This is all the seventh trumpet here. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. It has become, at the blowing of the seventh trumpet, that's the end, isn't it? That's the end of the tribulation, and that's Jesus coming back. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who were seated on the thrones before God fell to their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give thanks to you, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and was, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. The nations were angry, but your wrath has come." Remember what they said in the sixth seal. "Hide us from the face of him who sits upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath has come." Your wrath has come. The time for judging the dead and rewarding your servants the prophets. The resurrection when Jesus returns, right? And your saints and those who reverence your name, both small and great. And for destroying those who destroy the earth. What happens? He comes and destroys those who destroy the earth in the day of the Lord, right? Then God's temple in heaven was opened. Within its temple was seen the Ark of the Covenant. And there came flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, an earthquake, and a great hailstorm. And I want you to remember this. An earthquake and a great hailstorm. Now that's out all in the seventh trumpet. Now notice how the events of the seventh trumpet line up exactly with the events of the sixth seal. Now we're going to go look at the seventh bowl. The seventh bowl. Alright. In chapter 16 we see where the bowls are poured out. Alright. And the seventh angel, verse 17, poured out his bowl into the air, and out of the temple came a loud voice from the throne saying, "It is done." That's exactly what happened in the seventh trumpet, huh? And there came flashes of lightning, rumbling, peals of thunder, and a severe earthquake. No earthquake like it had ever occurred since man had been on the earth. So tremendous was the quake, the great city, Jerusalem, we just read it in chapter 11 in the seventh trumpet, right? The great city split in three parts. Remember where it said 7,000 people died in that earthquake? So tremendous was that quake. No earthquake had ever occurred since man had been on earth. So tremendous was the quake. The great city split into three parts, and the cities of the nations collapsed. God remembered Babylon the Great and gave her the cup, which she had in the fury of the wine of his wrath. And every island fled away. That's what it said in the sixth seal. Every island fled away. And the mountains could not be found. And from the sky, huge hailstones of about 100 pounds each fell upon men. Remember, there was fire, hail, and there was earthquakes, a storm, and lightnings and peals of thunder, and hail falling from the sky. That's what it told us in the seventh trumpet. From the sky, huge hailstones on about men fell about 100 pounds each, and they cursed God on account of the plague because the plague was so terrible. It is done. So, how many of you can see that the seventh bowl, see, all the others will fall into place. All the other bowls and all the other trumpets will fall into place. The seventh bowl, the seventh trumpet, and the sixth seal are all the exact same time period. They all describe Jesus' coming and the wrath of the Lamb. They all describe our resurrection and being gathered to Him and Him beginning to rule and reign. They all focus on His second coming. They all talk about this great earthquake. That's part of the announcement of His great coming. How many of you can see this? Because if you can, then you'll see how the book of Revelation is really divided. The first three chapters are the letters to the seven churches. Chapters 4 and 5 are revealing of what the seven seals are and the seven seal scroll. Alright? Chapter 6 and 7 are the opening of those first six seals. But chapter 8 through 22 is all the seventh seal. And the things that occur in the seventh seal are the seven bowls and the seven trumpets. That's how you divide the book of Revelation to begin to understand it. And we're going to make use of this knowledge as we go on. But can you see how the seven seals line up exactly with the 7 years, that final seven from Daniel 9:27? Seven speaks of completion. And that is everything being brought to a completion in that 7 year period. Can you also see what we wanted to get at today is that 7 year period starts with Antichrist making a covenant with many and ends with Jesus' return. So it starts with Antichrist coming on the scene and it ends with Jesus coming in the resurrection, right? In the same way that all of creation, the whole seven, you know, started with Adam, the man of sin, which the Antichrist is pictured, and it ends with Jesus, the man of righteousness. So you can see that this final seven is meant to be a picture of creation. What happened in the middle of this creation, 3,500 years on both sides, was the destruction of the Jewish temple by Nebuchadnezzar. And the people of Judah being taken into captivity and then coming back to build God's house. What happens in the middle of the seven is the abomination of desolation in that same temple, involving a man of sin like Nebuchadnezzar. Right? And we're going to get into the specifics of all those things, but you've got to see that there's a pattern here. And that's what we wanted to get at today. It's a good place to stop.